There are a million ways to die. As a prosecutor in Seattle's King County Violent Crimes Unit, Mia Quinn had become familiar with far too many. But before the first week of November was over, she would learn there were even more ways than she'd thought. "Good afternoon, Your Honor," Mia said as Judge Rivas took the bench. Her phone hummed in her pocket, signaling a call or text, but she ignored it. Judge Rivas was a stickler for courtroom decorum. He inclined his buzz-cut head toward Mia, who stood at attention behind the prosecution table. "Good afternoon, Counselor." He turned toward the empty defense table. "Is Mr. Dawkins here?" The courtroom clerk, Trevor Gostin, answered, "Yes, he's in with Mr. Young." Despite the formal titles used in court, Mia thought that Trevor's use of Mr. most certainly did not belong with the name Young. Rolf Dawkins was a defense attorney, a gentleman from the top of his silver hair down to his highly polished wingtips, and Bernard Young was the glowering 22-year-old defendant he represented, a.k.a. the monster who had raped and strangled two runaway girls. Today Young was to be sentenced. There were only a few observers in the courtroom, most of them relatives of the girls. Mia had asked for life in prison and felt confident Young would get it. Her case was airtight. Dawkins had done what he could, but she was sure down to her bones that it wouldn't be enough. Young would never be able to hurt anyone again. A side door opened and Rolf walked in, followed by Young in an orange jumpsuit. A sheriff's deputy brought up the rear. Mia watched them walk toward the defense table, not thinking about anything except how her phone was buzzing again. Maybe she could manage to sneak a peek as she sat down. Then Young's upper lip curled back and his eyes narrowed. His face was full of rage. And faster than Mia could react, faster than she could even process what was happening, he broke into a run, straight for her, then he lunged. Young had already fisted her hair in one hand before Mia drew breath to scream. The other hand pressed against her throat. They tumbled backward. She was still screaming when his weight punched all the air out of her. "Get off her!" Trevor yelled, swearing. "Get off her!" And then he threw himself on top of Young, wrestling with him. Mia's thoughts ping-ponged from the pain in her scalp to the pressure on her throat, to the sheer crushing weight of the two men. She squirmed and kicked and pushed, trying to get away, but she was pinned in place. "Just try it on me, man," Trevor panted. "I'll beat the crap out of you." Now the deputy was grabbing at Young, yelling, adding his orders to the tumult. Even Rolf, who was 70 if he was a day, knelt next to them and began to yank and grab, trying to subdue his client. Mia found a brief moment to hope that the deputy didn't draw his gun. All of them were so close together. "Watch out!" yelled Catherine, the court reporter. "He's got a razor blade!" A razor blade. More frantically, Mia arched her back, twisting and kicking. She didn't care if she kicked someone else or if Young tore all the hair out of her head. She had to get loose before he slashed her throat. For a moment, the weight left her neck. But even before she could feel a surge of relief, it was back. And then Mia felt a small, sharp edge press against her throat. Chapter 2. Everything was moving in slow motion. Mia had all the time in the world to think, even if she had no time to save herself. Time to imagine how the delicate white skin of her throat would part in a red line that would widen into a bloody smile. Time to think about her children. Brooke was only 4, Gabe 14. Both of them needed their mother. Needed Mia more than ever since the car accident 7 months earlier that had taken Scott from them.
"I got his wrist!" Trevor yelled as an elbow pressed into Mia's rib cage. "Cuff him from the other side!"
And suddenly, the weight came off Mia as a group of men wrestled a swearing Young back, yanking him to his feet. She sucked in air. With a trembling hand, she risked touching her throat, afraid of what she might find. But no hot blood pulsed from her neck. Her shaking fingers found just smooth skin. 2 more deputies ran into the courtroom with their guns drawn. Everyone was talking at once. Mia pushed herself to a sitting position and turned to Catherine, who had crept closer.
"Did he cut me?"
"No," Catherine said. Her eyes were wide and she had her hands to her own throat.
"No, thank God. Should I call an ambulance?"
"I'm sorry,"
Young called out, though he didn't look it. Trevor pushed his shoulder. "It's a little late for that." Rolf helped Mia to her feet and guided her to a chair.
"I'm so sorry," he said. "Just before we came in, he asked me if I thought you had any remorse. I said you were just doing your job. I'm sorry if that had anything to do with it."